What do you have that is truly yours? That at the end of the day you can say, yes, I made this, I created this, this is mine. When we reflect on that, and we do well to reflect on it often, we realize, really nothing. It reminds me of the old story of the scientist inventor who was so proud and said to God, God, frankly, we don't need you anymore. Because we've actually come up with a method to be able to make brand new human beings on our own out of dirt. And God said to him, well, that is impressive. I am so proud of you using your ingenuity. That is great. But get your own dirt. Right? We need God's something to be able to create anything. Everything that we can claim as our own, if we trace it back, was given to us. By whom? By the one we referenced in the collect, that first prayer of the Mass. The one we referenced as the author of all that is good. We prayed to him, we said, grant us, we pray, O Lord our God, the constant gladness of being devoted to you. For it is full and lasting happiness to serve with constancy the author of all that is good. A beautiful prayer, but that's not a title we often give to the Lord. The author of all that is good. In theory, that's the way that we think of him. But in practice, I think our image of him very often is not the author of all that is good, but the disruptor of all that is fun. We kind of think of him as this divine buzzkill, as the one who keeps us from doing that which we want to do. That's the mode in which we look at church teaching. And we think, oh man, my life would be so great if only the church allowed me to do A, B, and C. If only God didn't frown upon D, E, and F. I would be so happy. And we end up having this morphed image of God, not as the author of all good that created it for a noble purpose, but as somebody who meddles, who gets in my way. And yet we proclaim today the astounding truth that God is, in fact, the author of all that is good. And do you know what that means? That means that when he looks at you, he sees something good. He is the author, proud of his creation, in love with that which he made. So he looks at you and sees incredible potential for goodness. But do we see ourselves that way? And that is, I think, the lens through which we can read this gospel. Is that the master of this parable is meant to be the author of all that is good, God himself. And he is the one who has given to us all that we have and all that we are. And he's proclaimed it good and useful. He said, I can do something extraordinary with this. But we waste our time. Instead of focusing in gratitude on what God's given us, we look at how many talents the others have. And instead of saying, oh God, everything that I have is from you, thank you, we say, why does he have five and I have two? Or why does she have two and I only have one? We waste so much time and energy on looking at what the other people have instead of saying, God, what have you given me? And then second question, what am I doing with it? So at the end of the day, that's what matters. It doesn't matter how I compare to this person or to that person. It's how at the end of my days I can say, God, all that you gave me, how did I use it? But very often we're scared, right? We're in the position of the one with just the one talent. And I feel his fear because I've lived it before. That fear of not wanting to risk it all. He could very well have said to himself, well, yeah, of course that guy's trading with five. If he loses one, he still has four. That one with two, well, at least there's some security. I only have the one. If I lose that one, what more do I have? And that's how we approach our life very often. I have just this one life, this span of time on this earth. And instead of letting that urge us into action, we let that paralyze us in fear. We say, oh, I don't know how, what's the best way for me to spend this life? I'm just going to distract myself. And so we distract ourselves through our 20s. And then in our 30s, we're like, oh, well, I guess I'm stuck in this life. But you know, instead of making the most of it, I'm just going to kind of distract myself with some other little concerns. Busyness here, busyness there, little entertainment there, little entertainment there. And we end up drifting through our lives in a way that could well be described as burying our one talent. That one life that we had to live heroically, spreading God's glory in our life, we just bury it. So how can we do otherwise? Well, that is the great grace of every time that we turn to the Lord, is that even though this master, this demanding master, was meant to be an image of God, God is infinitely more merciful. So he doesn't go a far ways away and say, what are you going to do with your talent? How are you going to live your life? Are you going to risk it all in proclaiming me? Are you going to live in such a way that your life would make no sense if Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead? Like, yes, those are his demands, but he doesn't make them from a distance, trying to just examine us as if it were a test. No, he's intimately involved. He says, I know you're scared. I know you have just this one life. I know that you don't know exactly what you need to do in any given situation. That's why I want to be intimately involved in every step of the way. I want to be here helping you to multiply this one talent, this one life that you've been given for my glory. He's in it with us. And so we can boldly risk it all in living Christianity to the full, instead of kind of holding a little bit of it back, burying bit by bit this one life that we've been given. No, instead our Lord calls us to some reflection. First reflection, what have you given me, Lord, that I may be grateful? And in that list, and I actually think writing this out in a list is not a bad thing to do. To think of what are all of the things that you've given me, the family that I have, the talents, the gifts, but also the quirks, this strange personality that nobody in the world has ever had or ever will have. Even the moments of suffering, we put that into that list too, because we can see in retrospect how we've grown from it. And with all of that list of what you've given me, the next question is, okay, God, what am I going to do with it? By your grace, how can I use all of these things you've given me to multiply your glory and to sanctify my soul and the souls of all the people that you've brought me in contact with? And then when we do that, when we live our lives by God's grace in that way, we're able to look forward to someday facing him in heaven and hearing him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come, share your master's joy."